Turn to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. Let me say this. I would 10,000 times rather follow someone who just preached a great message than someone who missed it. That was a great message. It sure makes running that race a lot easier. It's a lot easier when you pass the baton off smoothly and you try to pick it up and straighten it up. That was a great message. I thank the Lord for that. All Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, is given by inspiration of God. This is not an ordinary book. You know, I have a lot of books written by different men on the Scriptures, but they're not the Scriptures. This is the Word of God. This is the book we go to. This is the book where the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, is revealed in the pages of this book. Make much of the Word of God. Make much of it. Our Lord did. He quoted the Scriptures. When Satan came to tempt him in the wilderness, what did he do? He quoted the Word of God. Thus saith the Word of God. He didn't say, thus saith John Gill or something. It was, thus saith the Word of God. Quote anybody but the Word of God. A man has to be blind, spiritually blind, deaf, dumb, and dead to read the Word of God and not see Christ throughout the whole Word of God. He is the message of the book. Christ said, take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn of me. He's the teacher and he's the lesson. He's the message of this book. If we leave him out of it, we do not have a message. There's no good news. I have no good news apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. None. None whatsoever. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ that's revealed in the pages of this book that we come to know God. That we come to know the living God, to know who He is. It is through Christ that we come to know ourselves. You really never know yourself till you know Him. Not until you find out who He is and you see yourself. He's the key of knowledge. He is the key of knowledge. Until we know Him, we really don't know anything. Not really. Talking about that a little bit today. We really don't know much. Paul said, we know in part, we preach in part. And we'll do that all the way to the grave. But He's the key of knowledge. He is the embodiment of wisdom. The embodiment of it. The embodiment of wisdom. The embodiment of truth. He didn't just tell the truth. He's the embodiment of it. He is the revelation of God the Father. He that has seen me has seen the Father. Philip, have I been so long a time with you and you don't know me yet? Oh, I'm so glad He's merciful. So glad He's merciful to sinners. I've been here with you for 3 years and you don't know me yet? Oh, he that has seen me has seen the Father. If you want to know what the Father's like, study Jesus Christ. Get in the Gospel. Get in the whole Word of God and find out who He is. And you'll know who the Father is. He is the express image of God. Who he is. That's who this man is. Now let's look in Isaiah chapter 50. In this chapter, I'm going to give you what. I'm going to give you what's in this chapter, but that's more than I can give you. More than I can give you. But in this chapter, we have the revelation of sin. Verses 1 and 2. verses 2 and 3, we have the revelation of God's power. And in verses 4 and 5, we have the revelation of the Redeemer, who is the power of God to save. Christ is that power of God to save, as Charles said. And then verse 6 and 7, we have the revelation of His sufferings. He told the disciples, I must go to Jerusalem. I must go there. I must be rejected of the scribes and the elders, and I must suffer. He must suffer. There's no way around it. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Did it? No. Not possible. It's not possible for you and I to be saved without Him suffering and the wrath of God for us. Not possible. And then verse 10, we have the call to faith. Trust in the name of the Lord. In verse 11, we have the destruction of those who do not believe. Now, verse 1, God speaks. God speaks and He reveals sin. He lays the axe to the root of all problems. Sin. Sin. And here's what He says. Where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? Produce the paper that says, I divorced your mother. He said, produce that paper. In those days, a man, if he divorced his wife, he would produce a paper that said he divorced his wife. And he said, produce it. Where is it? Show it to me. You can't. You can't. I'm not the one that left. I'm not the one that divorced. You'll never meet God in divorce court. When He makes a commitment, He's committed. You'll never meet Him in divorce court. Even He said, Moses gave you that divorcement. In the beginning, what? It wasn't so. God didn't give it to you. He said, Moses gave it to you because of the hardness of your heart. And He's saying here, you produce the paper. You produce the paper that says that I divorced your mother. You can't. I'm not the one that left. Did Adam leave God or God leave Adam? Adam left God. He's the one that left. Of which of my creditors have I sold you? Who am I in so much debt to that I had to sell the vineyard and the family to satisfy the debt? Oh, what question? God has no debts, has no creditors. He owes no one. The truth is this. Here's the truth. You sold yourselves. You sold yourselves for a little pleasure in sin for a season. You sold yourselves. You see, the problem is not with God, and it's never with God. It's with us. It's never with Him. It's with us. The problem is always with us. We walked according to the course of this world, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The problem is never with God. It's with us. It's with us. If the gospel leaves a people, it's not because God left them, it's because they left God. They left the gospel. In writing to those seven churches, I believe it was the church of Ephesus, he said, you left your first love. You left. You left. The problem's with us. Because he says here in the next verse, wherefore, when I came, well, it's evident he didn't leave, isn't it? When I came to my own vineyard, you wanted nothing to do with me. Isn't that sad? When the Redeemer came into the world, the Son of God, the one who created it, you would have thought that everyone would have rejoiced. This is the Creator. This is the Savior. This is our God. Instead, he said, when he came into his own received him not. And when I called, he said, none answered. No answer. He called to the marriage supper, and they all had excuses. They all had excuses. Everyone had something to do. He's called by the gospel of peace, but they were not interested. I'm sure glad he did more than just give a general call, aren't you? I'm sure glad that He made me willing in the day of His power. That He gave an effectual call like He did to Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. That wasn't a general call. No. That was a powerful call. That was a call to life. Lazarus, come forth. I'm telling you this. Everyone whom He saves, He gives that same call to. You can talk till you're blue in the face. You can talk until the cows come home. And men are not going to have anything to do with God till He calls them by the power of His grace. He said, when I called, you didn't want anything to do with it. Is my hand shortened? Is this the problem? Is this the problem? And he reveals His power here. Is my hand shortened at all? Is my hand withered that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver you? Are you where you are because God has not the power to save you? No. Absolutely not. Did Adam fall because of God's weakness? Absolutely not. Not. Has time affected the power of God? Has it affected God? Has time weakened His power like it does us as we grow older? Absolutely not. Have we gone beyond His power to save? No. Scripture says He can save unto the uttermost them that come unto God by Him. See, He ever lives to make intercession. You're not a hard nut to crack. Not any of us. There's not one of us is hard to crack if God wants to crack us. We're not. No case is too hard for God. Oh, don't. Somebody gets lifted up with arrogance like that. You know, I remember this. Back when I was a teenager, 16, 17, my brother, you know, he'd gotten saved. And boy, he was working on me. Him and another friend, they would corner me. And they would try to talk me into making a decision. They would try to talk me into what they call get saved. And I tell you what, after a while, I felt like I was pretty strong. I was stood. I felt like I was withstanding God. I felt like I, you know, he wants somebody. He really wants me. No, you're not going to get, no. I tell you what, one day I heard the gospel. I heard Henry Mahan preach on television. I heard that God can save whom He will, pass by whom He will. And for the first time in my life, I became afraid of God, that He might pass me by. He might pass me. He may not save you. He may not save you. He may pass you by. He'll have mercy on whom He'll have mercy, and whom He will, He'll harden. He'll harden. And that scared, that hit me. That hit me hard when I heard that. Never heard that in my life. All I heard was Jesus wants to save you. God wants to save you. Won't you let God save you? That's what I heard. And then one day I heard, no, He may not save you. No, He may not. He may leave you alone. He may let you meet Him in judgment. And He'll be a just God if He does so. Yeah. He'll be just if He saved you, and He'll be just if He damned you. That's an awesome thing to realize. No case is too hard for God. He says, listen, at my rebuke, at my word, I dried up the sea. We built dams to try to hold back some water at His word. That sea dried up. It parted. The laws of nature, what we call, were suspended. It's like when He stopped the sun in the sky. Was it for Joshua? He suspended the laws of nature that He had set in order. At my rebuke, I'd ride up to see. Now what? Now who am I? If he rebukes me, what's he going to do? Well, how am I going to get? How dried up you think I'm going to be if he rebukes me? At my rebuke, I dried up the sea. He spoke and the sea parted. And Israel, his people, went over on dry ground. They didn't have to wait 6 months for it to dry up. He parted the sea. The ground was dry. And they went over just like on a paved road. It's amazing how God describes himself so much differently than men do. He said, you thought I was all together like yourselves. I don't want a God like myself. Up and down. Feel good one day, bad the next. Happy one day, mad at somebody the next. Oh, I don't want a God like that. I want a God that's infinitely above me. Infinitely. God is able to redeem and to save whomsoever He will. He's able to do it. He's able to do it. Our thoughts of God are just way too little. Way too little. He is omnipotent. He is power. He doesn't just have power. He is power. The Lord said to those demons, come out. Did you ever see one not come out? In Scripture, did you ever read where one did not come out? You ever read where one of them said, no, I'm staying here. It came out without a word. Some of that one was a legion, you know, that was in that man that said legion. They said, let us go over those pigs. They begged him to at least let them go over. They didn't fight him. They came out. When he said come out, they came out. That's power. You know, power, here's power. When you speak, it happens. That's power. That's power. A believer's, I want you to get this. A believer's present distress is not a reflection on the power of God, but on the will of God. It's God's will. If I'm going through some distress, if I'm going through some great trial, that's not a reflection of God's power, His inability to save me from it. It's a reflection of His will. It's His will. Or it wouldn't be happening. It wouldn't happen if it was not His will. I close the heavens. We can close the body. We can close our kids. And that's about all we can close. I couldn't close this group. I don't have that kind of finances or resources or power. I can't do that. He said, I closed the heavens. Look at the stars. Go out and count the stars. You can't. You can't. I closed the heavens with, and he says here, I closed the heavens with blackness. It's about to turn night. He's about to close it here in a little while with darkness. And I make sackcloth their covering. He can bring a storm cloud over and just turn the lights on. Just like when our Lord died on the cross, when Todd was preaching here last night. It was the darkness covered the land. Thick darkness covered the land for 3 hours. Who did that? God did that. God did that. You and I can turn the lights out in this house. We can flip the switch. He can turn them out in heaven. Think of that. In heaven, He can turn the lights out. Over in Revelation chapter 6, you'll read where He turns it out. He can turn it out. And one day we'll turn it out. I can cover a candle, but God can cover the sun. He said, I can cover it with blackness. He said over in Isaiah 45:7, I form the light and I create darkness. That's His power. And here's just a glimpse. This is a glimpse of God's power. But the power of God to save is in these next few verses. And it concerns the Redeemer. The Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from Him, nobody will be saved. And He says here in verse 4, we have the Redeemer described here. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. Christ is that prophet that Moses said would come. This is that prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you this, when He spoke, it meant something. I believe that there was never idle chit-chat with Him. Every word came out of His mouth was wisdom. Spoken in wisdom. Spoken in truth. And He's that prophet Moses said would come. In Christ, all the fullness of the wisdom of God dwells. And if we learn anything of who God is, it will be through Christ the prophet. He's the one who reveals the Father. No man knows the Son but the Father. And He to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. If we have any hope, if we have any comfort from our sins, it will be through Christ speaking to us the gospel of peace. Speaking that word in season. That word in season spoken is the gospel. It's the gospel. Listen to this. Son, thy sins be forgiven. Oh, isn't that peace? Oh, Lord, speak that to my heart. Son, thy sins be forgiven. Doth any man condemn thee? That woman, that adulterous woman. They brought her, they was ready to stone her, and they was going to try to trip him up at the same time. Religion, there's nothing meaner than religion without Christ. Nothing. And he says to her, doth any man condemn thee? She said, no. He said, well, neither do I. Neither do I. Go in peace. Go in peace. Oh, every one of you who believe the gospel tonight, go home in peace. Thy sins are forgiven. Go home in peace. Thy sins are forgiven. And he says here, he wakeneth morning by morning. In other words, God wakens him. He's saying, the Father wakens me every morning. He said, as I hear, I speak. He wasn't making this stuff up. As I hear, I speak. He had the Spirit without measure. And every waking minute, he was instructed by the Spirit of God concerning the will of his Father. As God, he knew all things. As a man, he learned all things. Whew. Can you grasp that? No. That's deep. Oh, I'm in over my head every time I step in the pulpit. Can't do it. Oh, he knew it all and then learned it all. So that's something. The Lord God, he said, hath opened. He hath digged mine ear. And listen, I was not rebellious. He's the only son that wasn't. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back from what was revealed to him, what was retaught to him, as him being the Messiah and the suffering that he was going to go through. He said, I didn't turn my back on it. I didn't say no. Because he's willing. He's a willing Savior. We can't even comprehend how willing he was to go to the cross, be made sin, and die, that you and I might be with him and behold his glory. He said, Father, I will. He's the only one who can say that. He's the only one who can say, Father, I will. That they be with me where I am, not where I'm going, where I am. That they may what? Behold my glory, the glory I had with you before the world was. Have you ever seen anything, experienced anything that was so glorious, that was so breathtaking, that you just had to have somebody else see it? And he said, Father, I want them to be there and see this glory. What we're in for. I will that they be with me, that they may behold my glory. He said, I want them to see it. I want them to see it. He was willing to do the Father's will and redeem his elect. He loved the Father and he delighted. He said, My meat is not T-bone. It's not beans and potatoes. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. That's my meat. That's what drives me. That's what gives me the energy to just to go, and what motivates me is it my Father's will. If we could just catch a good measure of that spirit. He did not rebel at the shame and the suffering that His will called for. And here's the evidence of His willingness. He didn't just say it. He did it. He proved it. I gave. They didn't take. I gave my back to the smiters. They didn't take it. He had to help them up off the ground so they could take. So they could go to Jerusalem and finish the work. He had to help. He had to enable those men to get up and take Him and finish it. Finish the job here, men. Get up. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. When it came time to suffer, He did not draw back. He did not flinch. He said, I gave my back. I gave my back. Here it is. Smite it. That's what this back was made for. A body hast thou prepared me. This back was made for you to smite. By His stripes we are healed. Have at it. That's what He's saying. I gave my back. Have at it. That's what it's for. That's what it's for. I grew this beard so that you could pluck it out and fulfill my Father's purpose and will. That you could. Just a plucking of that beard fulfilled the purpose and will of God in this time. His sufferings. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. You know, when they plucked that beard out, it's there for us four. Pull it out. When they spit on His face, that's what this face is for. Spit on it. That's what this body's for. It's a sacrifice. Have at it. When a person is ashamed, they hide their face. But our Lord was not ashamed, because He knew the Lord God, He said, would help me. I know He'll help me. For the Lord God, He says, will help me. I'm not in this alone. I'm not in this alone. Salvation is the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the triune God. I'm not in this alone. Here is the God-man speaking with great confidence that God, the Creator of heaven and earth, would be with him in this whole thing. Until that time when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? If only we could catch a good measure of this same confidence. God will help us in that right early. Why can we not remember that? Why can't we remember that? Christ knew that He would not be ashamed. Now, if there's one person perishes for whom He died, he'll be ashamed. He has something to be ashamed of. But no, that's not going to happen. That is not going to happen. He knew He would not be ashamed. His work and His suffering would not be in vain. He knew that. If anyone perishes, it's in vain. If I gave my son, I'm just talking about on a human level, if I gave my son to die for somebody and they perished, well, my son died in vain. It was in vain. What was I thinking? And if anybody perishes for whom the Son of God died for, it's in vain. What was God thinking? That's not going to happen. He knew He would not fail. Oh, what confidence it gives you if you knew you would not fail. You know, I have a business. I sold it. But Boy, it would have been nice at the beginning of that thing if I knew I wouldn't fail. If I knew I was going to be successful, no matter what I went through, had to go through, it wouldn't matter. I mean, I can handle it. Because I know the end result is I'm successful. Christ is, He's wildly successful. He's not barely, He's wildly successful. Where do we see His glory? Just wait. Everyone for whom He was doing this for is going to be saved, and they are going to behold His glory that He had with the Father before the world was.
Amen.
And they are going to be partakers of that glory.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's deep. That's deep. And listen, brethren, we won't be ashamed either. Let people mock us, let them think we're nuts and whatever. We'll not be ashamed. And with such confidence, He set His face like a flint. Absolutely determined to get the job done. Satan, for 40 days, 40 nights, tried. Well, he was there 40 days and 40 nights, and at the end of it, he was hungry, and then Satan came and tried. Couldn't turn him. The first Adam, I tell you what, if you go back and read Genesis, you don't even see a struggle.
No.
You don't even see a struggle with the first Adam over falling. Not even a hint of a struggle. The second Adam quotes the Word of God and sends him on his way.
Yeah.
He set his face like a flint. And I've learned this in 53 years. A man or a woman will never accomplish anything until you're absolutely determined to do it. Until you're determined to do it, you'll never accomplish anything. He set his face like a flint, absolutely determined. He's going to go to that cross. Pilate tried to say that. He tried to say, behold, the man tried to get him to release him. Here's Barabbas. Well, they tried every way in the world. He had to help every one of them along to get the job done. Finish this thing. He says, I know I'll not be ashamed. And we can say the same thing. In Christ, I'll not be ashamed. He is near. He is near that justifies me. He's near. He's not up far off watching this go on. He's near. He's with me. Who shall contend with me? Who can argue the claims of Christ when the Father set His approval on Him? When He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Who can contend with Him? When the Father of heaven and earth says, this is my beloved Son. This is the one I'm well pleased with. He didn't say that about any other person. This one. Who can contend with me if God justifies me? Who can discredit my ministry, my life, my work, when God Almighty Himself approved it? Oh, man. And He did when He raised Him from the dead. Behold, He says, the Lord God will help me. Boy, you notice how He keeps drawing His confidence here from God's help and God's nearness. And He didn't draw help from His own strength or His own. He said, no, it's my God. It's God's with me. He's with me. Who can condemn me? That's what He's saying. Sounds like Romans chapter 8, doesn't it? All His enemies are going to grow old and die, but Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And His years shall not fail. Is my hand shortened that it cannot save? No. No. His enemies thought they outlasted Him when they crucified Him on the cross. But boy, did they have a rude awakening when they died. And to see Him standing there as the judge of the quick and the dead. I thought we got rid of you. Let me close. Here in verse 10. Here's a call to faith. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? My soul, is there any here that fears God? Stand in awe and respect and reverence of God? that obeys the voice of His servant, His preachers, and they stand and preach the gospel, that walks in darkness, hath no light. Is there anyone here like that? Let him trust. You know what trust is? It's just nothing more than confidence. Absolute confidence that God will do just as He said He would. It is full confidence that God is who He says He is, and He'll do as He said He would. Let him trust. When you can't look, when you can't see anything, and you can't understand it. You say, I don't understand what's going on. I had a young man say this to me not long ago. And I said, well, just trust. Just trust in the name of the Lord. Just trust. He can do no wrong. Understand? We can't understand. If you told me, I probably still wouldn't understand. But just trust. Trust. Just have confidence. I don't have to understand the ways of God. I understand this. I understand that He is wisdom. I understand the Lord is good. He can do no wrong. I understand that. I understand that. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, or the mighty man glory in his strength. Let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. He understands how God saves sinners. I understand that. I understand it through the Lord Jesus Christ, His person, His work, everything about Him. God saves sinners. He's a just God and a Savior in that man, and through that man, the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand how God saves sinners. I understand how God can justify me. But now all the workings of providence and all that's going on and shall go on, I don't understand all that stuff. And I don't need to. I don't need to understand. I just need to trust. Just trust Him. Trust Him. It'll be alright. I guarantee you. It'll be alright. And stay. Stay upon His God. Oh my. Trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon God. Lean upon His Word. That's why I said make much of the book. Make much of the Word of God. Stay upon His Word that He sends by His servants. The message we heard, all the messages we've heard. My soul, take them home with you. Be like that old cow that chews the cud. Just let it come back up. That may be kind of gross to some people, but I grew up on a farm. I'd watch them cows that lay there, and then they'd come back up, and they'd chew a while, go back down, come back up. Boy, if we could learn to do that with the gospel. See? Trust Him. Trust His promises. Trust His promises. He's good for you. He's good for you. But especially, trust His Son, Jesus Christ. Trust Him. Trust Him. In times of darkness, in times of doubt, trust Him. Look over here in Psalm. This is one of my favorite. I'm not going to say that. Over here in Psalm 56. This is a favorite, but they're all favorites. I tell you what, they all become favorites when you need them. You can read promises sometimes, and it really doesn't, I don't want to sound bad here, but they don't speak to you as much. But boy, one day something happens, and it's there. It's there. Psalm 56, verse 3. But time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Even when I'm afraid of Thee, I'll trust in Thee. Even when I'm afraid of God. Job said that, didn't he? Job said, when I consider God, I'm afraid. But then he said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. What a paradox of a belief. But those who go after their own way, and their own righteousness. You leave this service, you go after your own way, your own righteousness after hearing all these messages. God said, I'll destroy you. I'll destroy you. All right.